verses 1 through 18. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Let's bow for prayer as we come before the Lord this morning. And our Father, in this place today, we want to give you thanks for who you are. We thank you for the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ. We know him as your Christ child, and he came to deliver us from our sins. And we thank you, Father, for this time this morning to remember that great event of all human history, the event of God becoming man. We just pray, Father, that you'll bless the reading of your word to our hearts today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. For just a few moments, and I do mean a few moments, just look at this truth. I believe this reality that the gospel is truly the message of Christmas. Christmas is the gospel. Well, what is Christmas all about? Well, let's think, but first of all, what Christmas is not. Christmas is not about the shepherds. They were there. It's not about the manger scene. That happened. It's not about celebrating a Christian holiday. You see, that's one of the social issues out there today. Is it Christmas or is it a holiday? Well, Christmas in general is all about God coming into the earth in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, living among men, dying on a cross, rising from the grave, ascending to the Father, being seated at his right hand to hear the cries, the pleas of his people, and sinners asking for forgiveness of their sins. That's what Christmas really is all about. To celebrate Christmas, we must deal with the gospel event. For you to celebrate great Christmas, you must deal with the gospel event. As God provided for you, he provided a way for you and me to come to God in an acceptable way, in an acceptable manner. And how do we do that? It's through repentance and faith. You must receive Christ and experience the forgiveness of your sins. Now, I say this morning, if you have experienced the real meaning of Christmas, you have experienced the forgiveness of your sins. For those who reject the gospel, it is to face a Christless eternity without hope, and there will be no second chance. Some people think, well, I'll wait till I get there or till it happens, and then I'll beg for God, I'll ask God to be merciful, it'll be too late. Do you understand the gospel message? To reject the gospel is to face a Christless eternity without hope and without a second chance. And it is to be eternally separated from God. But if you know Christ, the real way to celebrate Christmas is to tell someone else about the reason of the hope that is in you in Christ Jesus, and the reason of his birth, and the reason of his life, and the purpose of his death. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We must overcome the commercialization of Christmas. Anybody agree with that? We must overcome the commercialization of Christmas, the traditions of getting. But we do see the giving of gifts that we give to one another, the picture of God giving his Son for us, the gift of all gifts, that God gave his Son to meet the deepest need of your soul and your heart and your life. This morning, I want us just to briefly, in three names, to look at the gospel of Christmas. There are over 700 names of title and titles of Jesus in the Bible, Old and New Testament both combined. But they tell of God. They tell the names of God, the names of Christ, tell us who God is, who Christ is, what he came to do for us. So this morning I want us to look at three of the names of Jesus and see the gospel in these in this name. First of all, let's take the name Jesus. That's the name that we know. The name Jesus is the name above every name. It's that matchless name. It is the name by which we proclaim the way of God, the gospel of God, the forgiveness of God, and the mercy and the grace of God. Well, that name Jesus, as we hear today, we need to kind of go put ourselves back into the day that Jesus was born. No one ever called him Jesus. They called him Joshua. For that is his real name. It's Yeshua or Yahashua. And in as it translates into the Greek and then into the English, it comes to us as the name Jesus. But the meaning of this name Jesus is all important. It means Jehovah is Savior. The name Jesus declares Jehovah, Yahweh, is Savior. And when we see this name Jesus, we see the person of God, the person who brings to us a gift that we cannot acquire unto ourselves. It is the person of Yahweh, is the person of Jehovah. He is the Creator God. He is the one who made all things. He is the one who came to bring you and me an offer of life and forgiveness and a life of blessing, but also the gift of eternal life, which lasts forever and ever. It's what God gives to us to understand who he is. So it's Jehovah God, and his purpose is to save people from their sins. His purpose is for you and me to know him and to know that he is the Savior of us all. He is the one who came to conquer life and to conquer death. He came and he conquered for you and me the punishment for our sins. He came to conquer for us temptation. He came to conquer for us the penalty of death, which is there for our sins. And so he came to declare who he was. And this name Jesus is the name that demonstrates to us that he has power over sin. He's the God who has created everything, but made a way for you and me by coming and experiencing personally for you and me the way of life, not sin in his own personal life, but the way of sin in this world by taking it away. He came and lived as a man, yet without sin, and he laid his life down. He gave himself to the cross, and there he suffered, and there he died. They took him down from the cross and they buried him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Jesus, Jehovah is Savior, means that he has the power over your sin and my sin and the sins of all the people of the world. And he came to demonstrate this power and to take away your sin and my sin. And then, thirdly, the name Jesus means he gives us a provision. He makes a provision for you and me. And what is that provision? What is the goal of God's salvation? It is the forgiveness of sins. Here's how we know that one day, when we die, that we shall go to be with God. Here's the feeling that we need to have. Here is the experience that we need to know for sure. Here's where we gain our assurance that we have been forgiven of our sins. That's the heart of the gospel. That's the purpose of the cross. That's the message of Christmas. So that men, people, mankind, who are sinners, we're all sinners, might know the forgiveness of God. So in the name Jesus, we see and we understand that the God who created everything is the God who came and conquered everything for you and for me. The second name that we'll look at this morning is the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. In this name of Jesus, in this name of God, we see the reality of what took place at the conception of Christ there when the angel came to Mary, but also there the night of that birth of the Savior. Emmanuel, God with us, the God of glory, the God of creation, the one who spoke everything into existence, became one of us. He is the baby in the manger. He is the 12-year-old boy in the temple. He was the man who willingly walked around and preached and taught and worked miracles to demonstrate the message of God, the power of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God. And so in this Emmanuel, we see that it is God who has done the work for us, for you, and for me. The third name is that of Savior. The Savior. If you look with me in your Bibles at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For you see, he is called the Savior. That's implied in the name Jesus. Jehovah is Savior. Yahweh is Savior. But he's called specifically the Savior. Look what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Because, why? Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. You see, what Paul says to Timothy there is the true living God is the Savior of all men. Now, all men will not come to God. All men will not hear the truth. All men will not celebrate the real meaning of Christmas. But those who believe, he says here, especially of those who believe, he is the Savior of all men. He's the Savior of all if they would only come. And that's the great question. Will people come? People who are able to understand that God wants them and desires them. He wants you and me to know him personally. He wants to embrace us in a personal relationship. Well, I want to leave one, maybe a new Christmas challenge. I don't know that I've ever spoken it like this before, but it's really put on my heart to really celebrate Christmas in this way. There's two ways. There's two things. If you know Christ, then to celebrate Christmas is to go and share and tell the message. If you're here today and you do not know Christ, the real way to celebrate Christmas is to come humbly before God in repentance and in faith and receive the Savior today into your heart and into your life. You see, if you're not forgiven, you stand in a position with God. We had it in our Sunday school lesson this morning in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 4. God is not unjust to punish unrepentant sinners. God is not unloving if he punishes sinners who will not come to him, but who reject him and who refuse him. If you are not forgiven of your sins to celebrate Christmas, it is to come today in repentance and in faith and receive Christ into your heart and into your life. And if you stand today in this place forgiven, probably most if not all that are here today are in a relationship with God of being forgiven of sin. If you're saved or born again, however you choose to look at that, then the best way to celebrate Christmas is to go and tell others. Look with me at Luke chapter 2 and in verse 17. Notice what it says here in verse 17, when the shepherds had come and seeing the nativity scene there, as we call it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You see, the shepherds heard the angel, the one angel, give the message. Then they saw the multitude of angels glorifying and praising God. Then they went to see what they had, what was spoken to them about. And so they, as it said, that they went to view that. And then look at verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. There's two things going here, and Charles Stanley brought this out in his message so very well there. He was speaking about it, and it says to us here that the shepherds, when they heard, they went to see what they were told. There was an instant response, an immediate obedience to go to see this Christ child. And after they had seen it, they went to proclaim it and to tell it everywhere they went. There is putting into action the message of Christmas, to go and to tell others. But look at verse 18. There were those who were told, those who heard, and all they that heard it wondered. You see, there's a difference here. The shepherds went and told. The others wondered about it. Kind of puts us in two categories of people. Will we go and tell? Or will we come to church Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, week after week and month after month and year after year, and will we just wonder about it? Will we know it and believe it and trust it? Or will we take it to heart and take it out and go out everywhere that we go and take this message of Christmas? I would suggest to us this morning, the real message of Christmas is the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the real way to celebrate Christmas, in the midst of all the giving and the getting and all of that, the real way to celebrate Christmas is to go and tell. Now here is an important truth, just a plain, simple reality. No one in this room had any control of our coming into this life. We didn't have you say so. We're here. God brought you and me into this world. He gave us life. That's the truth. The second part of that truth is that when we die, we have no control over the events after our death. We don't. We didn't have you say so in our birth. We don't have any control when we die. But what we do have is in between the birth and death of ourselves, we have the responsibility to seek out the truth. We have the responsibility to go and search and know what life is really all about. Answer the questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? When I heard that as a teenager, as a young Christian, hearing people go around saying, who am I? What am I? Where did I said, what are these people about? I understand. Being a Christian, I didn't understand because I had the purpose of God had filled my heart already. I didn't realize that people were speaking from an empty void in their lives. But you and I have this responsibility between birth and death to come and to seek God while He may be found. To come to the Savior while He is offering you and me that gift of eternal life. For when we close our eyes in death, it'll be everlastingly too late. The real message of Christmas, I believe that we need to overcome the commercializing of Christmas. I believe that we need to set ourselves to go out and to declare to others the love, the mercy, and the grace of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we need to come to Him on the basis of repentance and faith. Repentance is a heart that acknowledges we're sinners before Him. And when we humble ourselves before God and we ask mercifully ask Him to forgive us of our sins, that's repentance. And then faith in Jesus Christ is submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ. It's not just believing in Him and then pray this prayer and go off and live my life. But you see, it is a coming to Jesus forever to walk with Him day by day in life. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes.